Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam International this Sunday morning, the 18th of October, with myself, Ubaidullah Boja. And we have two guests with us coming on the line, inshallah, Professor Muhammad Raja and Brother Ibrahim Patelia. Both of them will be joining us, inshallah. And we will be discussing, we will be talking with regards to conflict resolution, Muslim mediation and arbitration. What does it entail? What does it involve? What is it that we need to do to be able to get that? And how is it that we as an ummah, living together as human beings, staying in a similar environment, there's going to be conflict, there's going to be people with different ideologies working in a similar environment, and obviously there's going to be difference of opinion. And sometimes when those differences grow and then they tend to cause conflict and they tend to cause problems, how do we deal with it? How do we move with it? And how is it that we as an ummah are able to learn from our glorious Sharia? What are the resolutions regarding it? What is the virtue regarding it? And with regards to this year, how is it that you and I can love as an ummah, but as an united ummah? And unity in this means that unity of objective, unity of vision, that we must be able to learn, to be able to live with a fellow brother, so that it is conducive and it is better for the ummah at large. To begin the program, we have Professor Muhammad Raja. He's well known on the radio. Most of us know him. We listen to him often on the radio. He has a weekly slot, and it is somebody that we run training under as well in Muslim mediation and arbitration. He was also nominated for the Mediator of the Year as well, and he joins us live. Professor, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakallah so much for joining us this Sunday morning on such an important discussion.
Yes,
indeed. Ibrahim, you're joining us also live, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
I just lost you there a bit, the line went off.
Okay. Brother Ibrahim Patelia, you're joining us live, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah for taking out your time, Brother Ibrahim, this Sunday morning. It's a very lovely Sunday morning, and to speak on something which is fairly important in our community, your time this morning is much appreciated.
It's an absolute pleasure.
Ibrahim, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam, how are you, Mohammed?
Alhamdulillah.
Prof, we're discussing issues of Muslim mediation and arbitration, but I think before we get there, a question: is conflict reality of life?
Okay, often when we talk of conflict, people immediately think of sort of negative issues like fighting and, you know, arguing and things. And there are various definitions. There's academic definitions, there's normal definitions. And often we think of conflict as, you know, differences between two people. That's the common sort of understanding of conflict. But of course, conflict, there are different levels of conflict. You can have intrapersonal conflict, which is conflict within yourself. Often you have to choose between two equally nice or equally good issues, and you can't make up your mind. Then there's interpersonal conflict, conflict between two individuals, which most people are very common or know of. Then there's intra-group conflict, that is conflict within a group. And of course, finally, inter-group conflict, conflict between groups. But conflict doesn't have to be negative. Conflict is positive, and yes, it is an essential part of life, because if you don't have conflict, there won't be change. There'll be stagnation. Can you imagine two people getting together, trying to have a conversation, and if they agree all the time, the conversation will stop?
In terms of managing contract, one of the conflict, one of the options is mediation, and something that we're going to be discussing, and it would be somewhat the core of today's panel discussion. Brother Ibrahim, you want to explain to the listeners, what is mediation all about?
You know, the beauty of conflict that Mohammed has picked up on is that it can be positive. I think when there are differences, if you imagine a situation between a husband and a wife, the responsibility we'd all know is for the husband and wife to resolve that difference between themselves. Often when people manage conflict, they want to defer to other parties to tell them what to do, and that has been typically the tendency of humanity. That's the reason why we as lawyers tend to have a profession. And so the deference allows someone else to make a decision. Now, when you ask the question, what is mediation? Mediation allows an opportunity where people cannot resolve their difference themselves to be placed in a situation with an expert facilitator who's able to take them into the realm of having to discuss what is their own problems, how they see those particular problems, but more importantly, how they see their particular solutions. So again, imagine a husband and a wife. In that situation, courts are not best placed to tell parents how to parent their children, even at a point of divorce. So often what mediation allows is an opportunity for two people to sit down in very difficult circumstances, often when they actually can't have a responsible conversation, but with the assistance of a third party who's trusted by both of them, called a mediator, with the necessary skills and expertise, is able to bring out a conversation that is meaningful, and then a negotiation that is meaningful, and then hopefully draw those two people to a point where they can resolve their own particular differences based on a solution that they both happy with. Instead of it being imposed by a court or by an alim or by a religious leader or a community leader, whatever it may be. In a nutshell, that's how I would explain the role of mediation in empowering people to make their own decisions and reach their own solutions.
We're dealing with different terms today, and perhaps we can just ask Professor, Brother Ibrahim made mention of different names. Is mediation somewhat different from litigation in terms of how we deal with it, Professor?
Yeah, mediation, as Ibrahim explained, and of course, people may know or may not know that Ibrahim has written a book along with Dr. Mohd Ali Chikte, and if anybody needs more information, they can obviously get the book. But mediation, as Ibrahim said, is third-party dispute resolution. The third party doesn't make a decision. He doesn't have ruling powers. Now, I'm not sure if we're going to go into the different, there's different types of mediation. There's facilitative, there's evaluative, and of course, transformative. But I don't think for this program we need to go into the different styles. We need to know that it's third party dispute resolution. The third party assists disputing parties to arrive at an agreement. Whereas litigation or arbitration, the third party listens to evidence and makes a ruling. And that's the major difference.
Brother Ibrahim, in terms of the mediation that we're busy with and in terms of what we're going to do, what is something, there's a technical term that I'm unaware of, what is a court annexed mediation if we opt to go that route for a person that chooses mediation?
Okay, as Professor has mentioned, there are different environments in which mediation can take place. Court-annexed mediation is a pilot project that has been introduced by the Department of Justice since the beginning of the year in certain magistrates' courts at the moment in Gauteng and Northwest Province. And the purpose of that is to provide a mediation service in civil disputes. These are not labor disputes, but there would be civil disputes. These could be contractual disputes between parties that would go before the magistrate's court. It could be divorce matters that go before the court. And in essence, what the Department of Justice has done is to provide an option for parties, and it's a completely voluntary option that parties to a dispute may exercise. So when they go to court, they may then go to a mediation process. They're offered that. They may select the third party of their choice, and then they are offered a mediation process prior to them going through the processes that the court then provides. That's a magistrate making a decision. So court-annexed mediation in the context of South Africa, to put it simply, is a voluntary mediation process that is attached to the court. At the moment, it's only the certain magistrates' courts in Gauteng and Northwest Province, but government has made it clear that they intend to roll out this project over the next couple of years in all the magistrates' courts and then eventually in all the high courts, so that mediation becomes an option for resolving or attempting to resolve civil disputes that exist between people.
Brother Ibrahim, if I'm understanding correctly, is this something that the courts are looking to go as an option for cases coming to it rather than just making a decision? Is that the way forward for them?
You know, that's an interesting thing. It's not only in South Africa. I think the reality, and Professor will echo some of these sentiments and he can come in with his views as well, is that internationally, the court system as it has been designed traditionally is proven to not provide a dispute resolution service that is intended to be accessible to everybody, first thing. Secondly, as well, meaningful to everybody in terms of resolving it. And importantly, as well, it's not efficient or cost-effective. All right? So the current traditional court system, not only in South Africa, but worldwide, in the European jurisdictions, in the UK, in America, in countries in Africa like Nigeria, Botswana, Namibia, there's many countries across the world have realized that there is a need for something else in terms of resolving existing conflict between parties. And the court system is not providing it. In South Africa, a few years ago, the Department of Justice under the Minister of Justice and the Chief Justice had an Access to Justice conference. And therein they pinpointed a number of issues. The reality is that the majority of our population under constitutional democracy does not have access to our court systems. It's traditionally should be accessible, but typically most people can't afford to pay the legal costs or bear out the time. Take a typical dispute before our High Court in Johannesburg. On average, it will take you 2 years to get your matter heard before the court. So I'm asking you this question here, and for the listeners as well, is that if you've got a dispute, a problem today on a contract where you may be suffering in terms of non-payment of money, in 2 years' time, you probably would either have forgotten about it or it would become a lot more of a burden to you in terms of loss of monies, etc. So in summary, absolutely, the traditional court systems are failing us on a number of levels. They are legitimate in terms of they have a meaning in society, but there needs to be an option prior to that. And mediation seems to be what a lot of the countries around the world and us as mediators would say. It provides for a possible resolution of a number of disputes prior to it being adjudicated by the court.
You're listening to myself, Ubaidullah Borja. We're on the panel discussion, and we're doing mediation and arbitration. In fact, we're just doing mediation this Sunday morning. With me, we have Professor Muhammad Raja and Brother Ibrahim Patelia. And if you would like to interact with us, if you'd like to pose a question, let's just keep the issues out of hand in terms of your own personal issues. But if you have a question with regards to the process of mediation, then you could give us a call and you could put it through to our panelists. And inshallah, they will respond to us very adequately. And inshallah, if there is anything you would like to send or communicate with us, the number is 011-854-1548. Alternatively, you could send me a text or a WhatsApp message. The number is 071-878-9748. And inshallah, we could then pose the questions to our two mediators, and hopefully, inshallah, they would respond to us within the course of the program. Prof, before we take the news, you just want to give some input with regards to the way courts are dealing with mediation. We'll take the news and thereafter we'll come back.
Okay, look, as Ibrahim explained, you know, before cases go to court, the courts may... But let's just step back. I think everybody's heard of, you know, people settling or lawyers settling on the steps of the court before going to mediation. Well, court mediation will assist this process by formalizing it a lot more. And although it's in the sort of teething stages at the moment, it is happening. There's even the pro bono office in Braamfontein that is doing a lot of pro bono work where people go there, they don't even pay for it, and a lot of disputes are being settled there. And I'm talking about commercial disputes, marriage disputes, not labor disputes. Labor disputes are dealt with at the CCMA and Bargaining Council. And of course, everybody's heard who's taken a dispute to the CCMA of conciliation. That process is, in fact, the mediation process. So court cases, some of them are being settled before people go and fight it out in court.
Jazakallah. We take the 11 a.m. news, inshallah. When we return, we carry on our discussion with regards to mediation. Welcome back to the panel discussion. We're discussing mediation today, inshallah. We have with us two very, very capable and amazing guests, Professor Muhammad Raja and Brother Ibrahim Patelia. Basically, what we've discussed so far, that conflict necessarily is not negative. There are many positives to it, and if we don't have it, we will then be able to start stagnating, which is obviously very, very harmful for us. Also, there's many different levels of conflict. There's personal conflict, there's conflict amongst family, there's conflict within a group. And as the bubble grows, obviously, so does the conflict also grow. We need to learn how to get people to talk to one another, and sometimes a simple person with good mediation skills can let a conversation flow, and through that, people can learn, obviously, how to deal with the conflict that they are having. And the conflict and the mediation that we are discussing, this mediation is not there to make a decision, but it's rather a process to get the people to make a decision, and obviously that is how the option of mediation is. Many of the courts are using this as an option, obviously because of many logistical and other reasons. We have with us Brother Muhammad Raja and Brother Ibrahim Patelia, and we were just discussing the issue with regards to the courts and why is it that they're using these pilot projects in some of the courts and the benefits of that. If you want to interact with us, you may do so. The number is 011-854-1548. Perhaps you have a question on how to address some of the conflict that you are dealing with and you would like some information on a process, you're most welcome to do so. Alternatively, you would just like to put a question to the panel. The number is 071-878-9748. Prof, we're back to you. In terms of mediation, there are numerous benefits with regards to mediation, contrary to either arbitration or also litigation. What are some of the benefits one would find in adopting the route of mediation?
Well, firstly, it's a win-win situation because both parties get out of the process what they want rather than going to court. And when you talk of advantages, obviously you need to compare it to going to court or going to arbitration. In the court and arbitration process, the one person wins and the other person loses. Whereas in mediation, both of them come out of the process satisfied because both their needs or interests are satisfied. If it's a relationship issue where people have a good relationship, they go away and their relationships are often restored. It is less costly than going to court. People themselves are involved. They decide what they want rather than letting a third party decide, and it's quick. Also, if people are going to use private mediation, they determine who the person is. It's somebody that they trust. They decide when it's going to take place, where it's going to take place, and very important, it is confidential. It's not out for the public to see, unlike court cases or arbitration that takes place elsewhere. These are some of the benefits.
Brother Ibrahim, obviously Professor has mentioned a few benefits. One is confidentiality. The other is you choose the when and the where. What are some of the benefits regarding the privacy policy compared to that if a person were to go to the court system?
And I think that's one of the important benefits that Prof has touched on. Court processes, by their nature, are open processes. So you'd find that if you go to a court, anyone can enter the court, sit in the gallery, and listen to the dirty laundry, so to speak, of people that are now in the court arguing. So when it comes to mediation, the privacy that's afforded in terms of mediation is that, as Prof has stated, is that the parties can select where they want the mediation to take place. And often the mediation would take place in the privacy of a boardroom or at a party's venue or at the mediator's office with no gallery. And the parties are able then to discuss their particular problem in a bubble of safety, so to speak, so that no one is going to overhear this. So if there are, for example, in a commercial transaction, there are certain things that need to be discussed that may go to the status of that company or may taint the value of the company or the perception in people's eyes, that is now kept in the privacy of the room of mediation, and parties enter into it with that benefit and that assurance that the mediator provides, but also the parties then give to each other to ensure that the discussions take place in this bubble of safety to allow for a lot more conversation on what could be the issues and how could it be resolved. So it's a tremendous benefit of mediation. Similarly, if you take another dispute, which is typically plaguing us, is divorces. Divorces are always plagued with a lot of mudslinging, arguments, and suggestions. There may be certain details and facts that are problematic that may affect people's dignity. And this can often be exposed in court papers. So even if it doesn't go and get argued before court, the court papers are available to any member of the public. They need to access the file, and they'll be able to read all the dirty laundry that is put forward. Mediation doesn't do that because there's no court papers. There is no recording of the process. It's specifically done in that environment where these very difficult discussions can be had with the benefit of privacy. So it's a tremendous benefit.
Rob, I want to ask you a question following up what Brother Ibrahim has said. I know you, you know me. I come to you, I tell you, Professor Raja, I have a problem. Can you mediate? Does the fact that you and I know one another, we have a rapport, we have a friendship, does this affect our, the confidentiality of the process in any way?
Look, if it's a professional mediator, it doesn't. But again, it's all about whether people are going to trust the person, because the professional mediator is not going to get personally involved in the mediation. He's not going to be subjective, will remain objective. The final decision are by the parties. And if a mediator tells a party that anything you say to me, maybe we need to explain this. Often the mediator will separate the parties. We'll be in a side meeting with one of the parties. In that side meeting, we'll tell the party, anything you tell me is confidential. I will not reveal to the other party. In other words, I only tell the other party what you give me permission to do. So that remains confidential. Also, the entire process between the parties, the assurance given to the parties that the mediator will retain confidentiality. If the parties themselves reveal what happened, you know, it's their issue, it's their dispute, they decide on that. But the mediator doesn't get involved. But it's important that the mediator will disclose at the beginning that, you know, I know that one party, you know, there's been a close relationship, will tell the other party, look, we've known each other for a long time, so that is clarified up front. But knowing a party doesn't necessarily impact on the mediation process itself.
This is a panel discussion this morning with myself, Ubaidullah Boja. I have with me Professor Muhammad Raja and Brother Ibrahim Patelia. We're discussing mediation, and if you would like to interact with us or give us a call, please do so. The number is 071-878-9748. With regards to our WhatsApp, alternatively, you could call the studio number on the number 011-854-1548. This is a message coming in. I don't know if, Professor, you want to take it or Brother Ibrahim. I would like to know, I have a problem with my business partner. I would like to look at the mediation process. Where do I start and who do I get in touch with?
Okay. I suppose, Ibrahim, look, maybe I should say rather than Ibrahim, because they may be thinking that Ibrahim is looking for business. There is a mediation and arbitration council, but Ibrahim obviously runs a mediation service as well. Mediation work, so people could approach Ibrahim, and he could either do it himself, or he's got a panel of mediators who can attend to it. But there is, of course, the Muslim Mediation and Arbitration Council that has a panel of mediators. Then there are other bodies as well, but, you know, when it comes to Muslim mediation or mediation under the auspices of Islamic ethics, then it's either mediation through Ibrahim's outfit or Muslim Mediation and Arbitration Council. There may be others. I don't know. Maybe Ibrahim will know.
You know, if we look at the court system, and it's something that I missed earlier on when you asked about Courtenex mediation, if the dispute between them is within the jurisdiction of the Magistrates Court, they don't have to issue out the summons to access the mediation process. So if the party doesn't want to use a private mediator like myself or Professor Raja, the Quartimax mediation system does provide mediators that you can select, even though you've not issued a summons out. And so you can go to the magistrate's court nearest, well, I think it would be Johannesburg Magistrate's Court in this particular case, and speak to the clerk of the court that deals with mediation. They would then offer also the appropriate advice. Their mediations, I think, range from about, and Professor, you can correct me, I think it's between 3,000 and 4,500 rand for the mediator, which you need to pay. So that would be another option in terms of a mediation process that could be accessed almost immediately.
Yeah, that's correct. That is more or less what the rate is.
Tell me, I just want to, for the benefit of the listeners, would there be something different in a Muslim mediation and arbitration council compared to something that, for an example, the court of Brother Ibrahim would be running, Professor?
Look, Ibrahim, obviously, if it's Muslims involved, maybe Ibrahim should answer that part. But Muslim Mediation and Arbitration Council obviously will look at, Islamic jurisprudence, will look at whether it is Sharia compliant. And in fact, often what happens, they would use somebody who is an expert in Islamic jurisprudence as well at Muslim mediation and arbitration, because it doesn't have to be one person who mediates. You can have one, more than one. And often questions come up and say, if we do this, is it Islamic? And then if I'm the mediator, I am often reluctant to answer those questions, and I'll say, go and ask an alim, let him answer the question, even if it's something I've dealt with before and I know the answer. But I would be reluctant to give people advice on, what is right and what is wrong. At the beginning I said you've got different approaches to mediation, one of them being the facilitative approach. And my style of mediation is mainly facilitative. There is some evaluative in what I do, there is some transformative in what I do, but mainly my approach is facilitative, so I wouldn't give the advice. But at the Muslim Mediation and Arbitration Council, it is done, and it is certain has to comply with Sharia law.
Brother Ibrahim, you want to add something to that?
Gee, I think I want to take it from a slightly different approach, and it's something that Professor touched on earlier on in terms of one of the benefits of mediation, and you also mentioned something about how people resolve disputes. I think this is something that's quite important to a lot of us that are mediators, is that when parties select a mediator, I think they need to exercise their choice very carefully, and they need to consider a number of things. One of them obviously is the cost. The second thing is what Professor has touched on, the type of expertise and knowledge that you require the mediator to have. Because I think if there is a complicated Islamic law dispute or Islamic finance dispute, it would be crazy to take hours to explain to the mediator the laws and the points of dispute. It will just become cumbersome, so an expert would provide a more efficient service. But thirdly as well, you've got to look at sometimes is the mediator affiliated to an organization? Is the mediator totally independent? And then furthermore, what is quite important for us as mediators now is the quality of training that mediators have, the level of experience that the mediators have. Because unfortunately, I think today we have a number of mediators, some good, some bad, like any profession, and there are a number of mediators that don't have formal qualifications that are excellent in what they're doing. But if you are a user of mediation, I would suggest that you would be a lot more careful, a lot more considerate over what type of qualifications, what type of experience does the person have, in addition to their subject matter knowledge, in terms of the skills of mediation. Because mediation being off the record and getting parties to speak inside meetings, and that has an inherent risk that it can create more harm for the parties if not done effectively. So if you look at what a skilled mediator brings, they bring a whole lot of skills, not only knowledge of law, that allows the parties to move towards settlement. But if they can't settle, at the least understanding their problems a lot more. in a manner that is more constructive, because that's what we aim to do as mediators, is to get people into a space where they can be a lot more constructive instead of destructive. So I would say, wherever you go to, whether it's the Muslim Mediation Arbitration Council or private institutions like myself or Quartermex Mediations, exercise your choice wisely, not only on price, not only necessarily on the subject matter. Consider a range of factors that have become important. Do you get in the mediation service that you want and that can provide a solution? Because often people use mediation, but then say, this process was completely a waste of time. But it requires a lot of thought and careful planning before you select a mediator, and also before you enter into the room of mediation, you need to plan for your negotiations. So it's not a process that you can just say, well, I'm going tomorrow and I'm going to try and negotiate a deal. I think people need to take effective care in their preparation and selection of a mediation process.
Brother Ibrahim, I want to ask you a question. An SMS comes in. Assalamu alaikum. I would like to know about visitation rights of grandparents to see grandchildren. We've been to courts and all the nasties about it. Court wants us to pay for maintenance and they're not allowing us to see our children. What advice can we give someone that has posed this question in light of our discussion?
Okay. There are obviously the legal route. So that in terms of what is required in terms of maintenance, there is a court that specifically deals with that, all right?
Okay.
If there are purely maintenance disputes, then one must understand that there is always a legitimate court process that the legislation has provided. So I'm not going to go into too much detail in that, because ultimately that is the process where the court will pronounce, after looking at a whole lot of financial factors and the like, around issues of maintenance and who has contact with children, an extension of all the disputes that could possibly exist in these types of disputes. But what's interesting in terms of the Children's Act, when it comes to issues of contact with children, when it comes to any issues with the children, our law has been developed quite progressively in that the family advocates need to provide a mediation service, okay? And so parties in these disputes have the liberty to actually use mediation through the family courts, and there'll be a family advocate situated there, which is an office, and they'll have forms that you need to complete in terms of these disputes. They advise you quite well, and they themselves can appoint a mediator that's specifically trained in these types of disputes to get all the parties to sit down and try and resolve it. But mediation does not provide a magic wand, and I want to just advise the listener who has posed the question, it's going to require the commitment of those parties to sit down. Often that's the challenge. It's going to require commitment of those that are advising them, because sometimes the lawyers are obstructive or the family members are obstructive. So it's going to take careful planning to get people into the room to then mediate. So yes, it is highly possible to mediate that. But my advice is to get the right kind of advice up front, look at a whole lot of dynamics that exist before just rushing into mediation. It may be in this situation that there are such dynamics that it will not allow for mediation to take place effectively, and that it's best for the court to deal with it. And then that's the appropriate way for this listener to resolve it. Or it may be that they can initiate a process whereby everyone is available and would participate in resolving these disputes, and then mediation would be the appropriate place. But I'd suggest to the listener to approach the family courts. They're situated in Johannesburg. It's free. They'll offer. It is a bit cumbersome, like a lot of our courts, in terms of the administration. But access the family courts, and then they'll provide the appropriate advice as to how to go about resolving this dispute.
You with myself, Ubaidullah Boja, this Sunday morning, and we're here with us Professor Muhammad Raja and Brother Ibrahim Patelia. You could interact with us. You could give us a call. The number is 011-854-1548. Alternatively, you could send me an SMS or a WhatsApp message. The number is 071-878-9748. And we could put this question to our panel, inshallah. Another SMS coming in, Prof, perhaps we could get you in here, is that the mediation that we're talking about, does it go against the command of Sharia, or is it in conformance with regards to the command of Sharia?
No, definitely in conformity with the command of Sharia, else we wouldn't be doing it.
Okay, jazakallah so much for that.
I don't think I have to expand on that.
Jazakallah so much for that.
But maybe I can give you sort of a story that we all, you may remember at the training, the story of the finding the 18th camel. There was sort of a man who had 17 camels. He died. He had three sons. When they opened the world, the oldest son read out the world and said the oldest son must get half of the 17 camels. The second son must get one-third of the camels, and the youngest son should get one-ninth of the camels. Now, with 17 camels, you can't obviously divide it equally in half, so there was a problem. So they went to the wise man, who's the mediator, and they said, please assist. And what he then did, he brought one of his own camels, making it 18 camels. And when he made it 18 camels, he gave the oldest son 9, which is half of the 18. He gave the second son one-third, which is 6 of the 18, and then the one-ninth is 2 camels of the 18, and if you add that up, it gives you 17 camels. He then took his camel, the 18th one, and went away. So mediation is about finding the 18th camel.
The 18th camel, definitely too so. Brother Ibrahim, this process of mediation that we discussed, obviously, the court process is a very long, cumbersome process with much paperwork and formalities, and it has to follow that process. Is mediation similar with regards to the duration of the process and the formalities involved?
I think that's where it's strikingly different. Mediation doesn't require you to have a lawyer appointed. It sometimes helps to have a lawyer that understands mediation to help you, but there's no requirement. There's no paper shuffling between the lawyers, so anyone who's been involved in either divorce or a conflict or whatever it may be that's gone to the courts, they know the amount and the volume of paper that's shuffled and is necessary for the court processes. So there's no such formalities. And thirdly as well, when it comes to the process itself, it's designed in such a way that the mediator has the necessary expertise to get the parties to talk. So, in fact, if we look at labor mediators, myself and Professor are mediators, senior commissioners at the CCMA, we train to deal with parties who are indigent. They don't necessarily have the knowledge that a person with a qualification would have. But they're able to come into a process, and that mediation process with that mediator is adapted to allow that particular person to have a fair chance, to have a voice, to be able to negotiate with an employer on the other side who maybe has appointed an ER or HR manager that's sophisticated. Now, I'm taking the principles from labor, but the very same principles apply to any mediation. And so the lack of formality is certainly a great benefit. In terms of duration, this is something that is quite important. We can only draw on examples from the various disputes that we've been resolving already through mediation. I can't necessarily say what's going to happen with the quarter next mediation. It's certainly designed to resolve the disputes very quickly compared to a court process. But anything in mediation would be much quicker than waiting 2 to 3 years, like I told you earlier on, for waiting for a dispute in court to be resolved. But typically, a dispute should be resolved in mediation within a day or two. In divorce mediation, slightly differently, because divorce mediation does not take place over a full day or 2 days that are consecutive. Typically, commercial disputes are dealt with like that, and labor disputes. Divorce mediation is normally over a couple of sessions that are about an hour and a half long, and that could span over a couple of weeks. The reason for that is because of the high intensity of emotion and the various issues that the parties need to go back and prepare on. But still, too, within a couple of weeks or 6 sessions of an hour long, a dispute can be resolved. So it's much, much quicker than any court process or any other dispute resolution process, even if it is dragged down a little bit more. Obviously, the disputes Professor deals with in terms of labor disputes, the big national wage disputes and the like, they do take a little bit more time, but I mean, it's still, even a long mediation could be 1 week, and the matter could be resolved. And that's the extreme of cases.
There's another question in, but I'm just going to try and answer it. I think it's very much similar to someone that I posed earlier. What do we do in a situation where the marriage has failed? They have a daughter. The mother is not allowing the father or his family to see the child, and no maintenance is being paid because the mother doesn't want anything to do with the ex-husband and their family. Trying to get hold of her, she's changed her number. Spoke to her family members, and she phoned, and she said that the family must stay away. How do we get to go about seeing the child? In this situation, would the family court just be the most ideal for them, Brother Ibrahim?
See, I think it would be, but if they want legal advice or some advice, there are bodies like Islamic Care Line. There are bodies like Family Life Center that's situated in Parktown here. So there are numerous bodies that are available that can offer advice in advance. And if a person wants self-help, they can approach the family courts. But I think there are certainly a number of institutions that would be able to assist. I think the important thing here is to get the appropriate advice prior to this. If the person has the finances, I would suggest that they go see a lawyer if it is getting complicated. If they do not have the finances, they would be best served if they want a lawyer to go to the legal aid board, and there are various law clinics attached to Wits University, for example, the University of Johannesburg, where they have to make an appointment and they have the benefit of seeing a lawyer. If they meet the means test, that lawyer would be provided free of charge, and then they would advise them appropriately in terms of their particular dispute. It's difficult to answer the substantive question on air because there are many permutations in terms of the legal issues that have arisen in terms of the example, but seek proper advice, I would suggest.
You're listening to myself, Ubaidullah Borja, this Sunday morning. We're discussing mediation and what are some of the benefits of it, and obviously some of the issues with regards that goes with it. You can interact with us. The number is 011-854-1548. Alternatively, you could just send me an SMS or a WhatsApp. The number is 071-878-9748. And we would put the question on to both our guests. Professor, I made a mistake earlier and I said we're discussing mediation and arbitration only after our training to realize that these things are starkly different. You want to just shed some light for our listeners, the difference between what would be a mediation and arbitration process?
Okay, mediation, as we said, the third party doesn't have ruling powers. The mediator will try to get parties to reach an agreement, will either keep the parties together in the same room in a joint session, or will talk to the parties separately inside meetings. There is absolutely no ruling power. And of course, we've discussed the confidentiality rule, we've discussed so that it's off the record. I'm not sure whether we went into details. We may not have gone into the details, but very important. Third-party dispute resolution, the third party doesn't have ruling powers. The parties themselves decide what the agreement will be and what they want to agree with. Whereas arbitration is like a mini court case where the disputing parties will present their evidence or their views or their positions to the arbitrator. The arbitrator is then the person who will make the arbitration ruling. Now, in terms of the arbitration law in South Africa, that arbitration rule is binding. You can't take it on appeal. It is binding even at labor disputes that are arbitrated either privately or at the CCMA. So any arbitration process, it is binding. The arbitrator's ruling is final, and the arbitrator would make a ruling in favor of one party or the other.
The Jamiatul Ulama, along with the Muslim Lawyers Association, has initiated something called the Muslim Mediation and Arbitration Council. This is a facility for people to look in and discuss the mediation and arbitration issues. Brother Ibrahim Patel, perhaps you just want to shed some light on this body that has been created via the Jamiatul Ulama as well as the Lawyers Association?
I think the initiation and the founding of the Muslim Mediation Arbitration Council, in terms of its inception, the greatest benefit was that you had mediators, lawyers, and the ulama working together to form this body many years ago. And I think the Muslim Mediation and Arbitration Council offers trained mediators. I think Professor has trained, like you've said, a number of ulama as well, so that they're multi-skilled in terms of having the knowledge in terms of Sharia, but also now have been trained as mediators to mediate disputes. There's a panel of mediators and arbitrators available, which includes ulama and also includes lawyers and professional mediators. So if a party has a dispute, they can then access the services of the Muslim Mediation Arbitration Council, which is an available resource. It's attached to the Jamiat al-Ulama, but it's not designed to be controlled by the Jamiat al-Ulama. It's an independent body. In fact, the mediators themselves and the arbitrators themselves would act independently of any of those associations in terms of its design. So parties would then access it, select a mediator, arbitrator of their choice, and then would have a process set down as you've been explaining. There could be a cost for certain mediators. Some mediators and arbitrators waive their cost as well, where the parties are deserving. So I think it is a very effective resource that's available to access mediation and arbitration for those that want to utilize a body such as the Muslim Mediation and Arbitration Council. That briefly.
Sure. In terms of... Whichever one of the two guests would like to take it.
Yeah.
Rams, I'm married in community of property. Husband never worked to pay the house, etc. I worked for 30 years. I have no kids. I would like to know, if I get divorced, what would be the procedure going forward?
Ibrahim, that's for you to answer.
It's becoming a divorce law show. But again, I think we don't want to change the subject here, but I would suggest that if there is a decision to get divorced, the first thing is not to make the decision lightly. I think it's important to get advice from ulama, counselors, lawyers if needs be, in terms of firstly making the decision. If the decision has been made, then there are certain, if you're married, I think the question was if they're married in community of property. Was that, if they're married in community of property, the implications of that is that whatever is brought into the joint estate is then shared jointly between the parties. So that dispensation on the point of divorce requires that the total assets between the parties themselves are treated as the assets of that joint union, and then upon divorce is then split, irrespective of, in terms of Sharia law, who owned what. It's treated as the joint ownership of both parties, and then it is split between them. But I would strongly suggest that the listener gets the appropriate advice from various experts, not only just a lawyer or an alim, but also a counselor before making the decision, because there's various permutations around a divorce that we need to start talking about as to how to make these decisions and also the financial implications thereafter. The second thing I'd strongly suggest to the listener is that if the decision has been made to divorce, is to get an agreement between the husband and wife to enter into a mediation process with a skilled and trained mediator to allow a number of things to be resolved, but also the issue of community of property and the disputes that may arise around that.
Okay, we have the issue, just as an example, and myself and a partner are having some problems and we are not getting to the nitty-gritties and unable to resolve it. So, Prof, when do we now decide we need to go for mediation?
Well, look, at any time, really. There's no specific time for mediation. But the important thing is the parties must be willing to go to the mediation. Because in that case, it needs to be a voluntary process. And as Ibrahim said earlier, you may have missed it, it doesn't always result in an agreement or a settlement, but at least issues will be clarified. When parties go away from that mediation, even if they haven't reached a written agreement, a lot of the issues will have been clarified. Certain issues that are common cause will be taken off the dispute procedure. So that's important. But the direct answer is there's no specific time. The parties must be prepared to approach a mediation. That's very important.
Brother Ibrahim, we have now decided we would like to take on a mediation. We are having some issues. we want to go ahead with regard to the mediation. How would we now go about formalizing or getting the appropriate people or the appropriate mediation process initiated?
Okay, I'm going to take a step back from that and to touch on, and I think your question is very important. That's why I'm going to just take a couple of steps back. Sure. The first thing that we all need to be thinking about, whether it's our marriages, our contracts that we enter into in terms of commercial transactions, our employment relationships that we enter into, is that we need to be thinking about what would be the dispute resolution process that will come into play when there is a dispute. All of us love the honeymoon phase, so we get involved in the marriage and there's love and harmony and all of that, which is all very good. And it's very difficult to get people to start thinking about what will happen in the event of a dispute or in any contractual relationship where there's a new commercial transaction, there's a euphoria around it. People don't want to think about the day when they will be in deadlock. But we all know now, and even from this discussion, that there is a number of opportunities for people to disagree, and they will disagree, and then they change. But you have pure love turned to pure hate in a marriage at the point of a divorce. So people need to challenge their lawyers, challenge their legal advisors, challenge themselves firstly as to how are they going to include effective dispute resolution clauses in their various contracts. I think this, as a preemptive measure, should be very, very important, where people still have the opportunity to enter into contractual relationships, where they should be thinking about what would be the appropriate dispute resolution clause. And I would suggest to people to get a mediation clause included in a lot of commercial contracts, but there again, not just to simply do it themselves off the Google resources, but to think carefully about it and to get appropriate advice. But assuming now that there is a dispute in place where people don't have the mediation agreement up front, but they now then have the opportunity, like you said, to say, we now have a dispute, let us now agree to mediation. And that is perfectly possible. So what would they do? They'd contact they firstly must challenge their lawyers to assist them in terms of the mediation process. And I encourage people, the lawyers are my colleagues, because I'm a lawyer myself, but challenge their lawyers to think through a process of mediation and to advise them in terms of how best to use mediation. But then there are institutions like myself, and there are a number of other colleagues of ours that have both the legal knowledge and the mediation knowledge to appropriately advise around entering into a mediation agreement at the point of a dispute. So this is a situation where parties don't have a contract in advance to get them to mediation if there's a dispute. They now have a dispute. It's important for the parties, prior to going into the mediation process, to enter into an agreement around the mediation, because there's a number of things that must be agreed to. Who's the mediator going to be? What will be the cost of the mediator, and how will it be paid between the two parties? Because mediators are professionals and they do charge. What would be the issues that the mediator would have to discuss? There may be issues around timing of the mediation venue. There's a whole lot of things that the mediator would have to be bound by in terms of a mediation agreement. So that mediation agreement must be very carefully drafted between the parties. So things like confidentiality without prejudice should be included as well in that mediation agreement. Once they have the the mediation agreement can be drafted with the assistance of institutions out there, but also mediators are able to assist the parties once the mediator is selected to enter into this agreement to enter into a mediation. And then it's quite simple. Once you've gone through that loophole, the mediator, once they've selected and they've agreed to between the parties, would sit down with the parties and work out when they'd have the mediation session. At the first day of the mediation, the mediator would typically ask both parties to express how they see their particular dispute. From that point, most likely mediators would separate parties into two different rooms and have side meetings, which Prof spoke about earlier on. And what the mediator is often looking for is for the parties to start understanding what their needs are, as opposed to their demands. Often people would ask for a lot more based on their hate and their emotion and wanting to get a lot more out of the other party. But often that differs a lot from what they need. So the mediator would want the parties to start understanding their problem first exactly themselves, what they need and what they require. And once that becomes a lot more clear, the mediator would look at risks and benefits. So it would test certain options outside of this mediation process. Would court be better, etc.? And so it's a well thought through process. And then the mediator would be assisting the parties to become a lot more creative around problem solving. Mohammed's example of the camels is a typical one. Is that mediators allow parties to be a lot more creative as to what possible solutions they could bring up, because they often think with blinkers. When people are involved in conflict, they put the blinkers on and they look at their particular solutions with a fixed perspective. So the mediator wants to get them to this new dimension where they're able to look at things very differently in terms of possible solutions. And often that's where creative solutions are found that allow for sustainable solutions. Once parties have entered into an agreement, the mediator would assist the parties to draft a settlement agreement. If there are lawyers, I would suggest that the lawyers of the parties look at those agreements, maybe assist in drafting those agreements so that they're legally binding, because that's quite important. Once you have entered into an agreement at mediation, you don't want to have it not complied with. So an agreement must be drafted which settles all the points that the parties have entered into an agreement on, and that agreement must be legally binding between the parties. And after that, once you've got a settlement agreement that's good enough, you effectively, a dispute is resolved. And then there could be an issue of non-compliance. So what can happen with the settlement agreement? Once parties have got that settlement agreement, they can approach a court to make that settlement agreement an order of court if they're concerned that there'll be non-compliance. So then the settlement agreement that was entered into between parties voluntarily based on their own needs now has the effect of a court order. So if a party defaults in terms of that settlement agreement, it can be challenged, or there can be a writ of execution entered into that allows parties' property to be attached. I've been a little bit long drawn, but that's more or less the process in terms of mediation.
Prof, would you like to add anything further?
Yeah, look, I was going to, there's really nothing. I mean, Ibrahim said it all, but very important, you know, we speak of the Muslim Mediation and Arbitration Council, and we talk of that the Jamiat offices, but people need to be realized. Ibrahim did mention it, but people may just miss this, because often I get people saying, you know, it's Jamiat, and we don't want to go to the Jamiat, we feel a bit uncomfortable, for whatever reasons, you know, people have their reasons why they want to do it. We need to stress that although the Muslim Mediation and Arbitration Council is at the Jamiat offices, although there's Jamiat administration at the Muslim, the panelists act totally independent of the Jamiat. They not affiliated to the Jamiat. Some of them may be, but a lot of the panelists, the majority of the panelists are totally independent of the Jamiat. So whatever they do is totally independent of the Jamiat. There's absolutely no influence on the process in that matter. And also, very important, while Ibrahim was talking, I was just thinking that, you know, Muslim organizations particularly, because one of the things Ibrahim said is that you need to prepare in case one day there's a dispute. Muslim organizations could, because the law allows it, the labor law allows it, the other laws allow it, must have a clause in their employment contract, in their dealings, whether it's commercial contracts, that in the event of a dispute, we will use, you know, a particular mediation or group of mediators or the Muslim Mediation and Arbitration Council. So if there's a labor dispute, for example, at a madrasa, at a masjid, at a Muslim school, or, you know, Muslim organization, charitable organizations, and they don't have to go to the CCMA. They can then go to, you know, Muslim mediators or the Muslim Mediation and Arbitration Council rather than to the CCMA. So
So they then are assured that they're going to have somebody who will ensure that it is Sharia compliant when they deal with the mediation and they resolve the dispute, inshallah.
We talk of, and some figures were thrown a little bit earlier, Professor. What would be the cost implication for a person that wanted a mediator to help them in their dispute?
Well, it varies, and, you know, Ibrahim can add more because, you know, he runs an outfit as well. But like the Muslim Mediation and Arbitration Council, you know, they can phone. It depends on the mediators. The mediators, the panelists themselves, set their fees. But Ibrahim also mentioned, and people may have missed it, that some mediators will waive their fees depending on who the parties are. They may say, well, we can understand in this case, perhaps you can't afford it, we'll waive our fees. The Muslim Mediation and Arbitration Council may charge a small administration fee. So that, but it can, you know, depending on what the dispute is, there could be an hourly rate, there could be a daily rate, or just a flat rate, of 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. It can range from that up to, 15,000, 20,000 a day.
Brother Ibrahim, your input with regards to some of the cost implications?
Certainly there are costs, and I think Mohammed has covered them in terms of the various, there's various options. There's pro bono mediation. How you get it is through the MMAC or probono.org. The courts are, from what I understand, the Court Annex mediation system has had 600 disputes referred to them from January to now. And the majority of them is people asking for mediation free of charge. Now, my view is slightly different, is that yes, mediators can charge various fees. In fact, what we provide is we have junior entry mediators who've been trained under coaching, and they charge far less at a fixed fee of about 2,000 rand a day. And then you have highly experienced mediators and who will be charging in the range of Mohammed, between 8,000, and not Mohammed's fee, Mohammed, I'm not your fee, but they charge in the range of between 8,000 and about 15,000 rand a day. But obviously the expertise are different. But I want to just take this again from a very different perspective. We spend a lot of money in fighting matters generally in court or in terms of paying money to a whole range of things. I think the one thing that I would advise business people entering into marriages, is to pay a little bit of money towards dispute resolution, whether it's drafting proper clauses, whether it's selecting a mediator that you're happy with at the point of a dispute. And I think we need to change slightly the culture of, and it doesn't only exist in the Muslim community, the fact that 600 matters have been referred to the court and the majority of people sees mediation as this touchy-feely thing that they should get for free. The reality is that mediation has fast-tracked, it's become a profession. So like you'd pay a doctor or you'd pay a specialist or you'd pay a lawyer, mediators as well, the more professional they are, they would have to charge. Now, they're not out to get rich, but they are profession. So you'd want more and more of the qualified, highly experienced mediators to offer the services to you. You'd need to pay. You certainly have an opportunity to have a choice of who you get and at what price. But like anything in life, you'd have to pay for better quality services.
True, definitely so. We just do a quick recap of what we're discussing before we ask our panel for some closing remarks. We're discussing mediation and arbitration in this morning's panel discussion, and we're just speaking more about mediation than arbitration today. There's different types of conflict. Conflict by its nature is not necessarily negative. And there could be people that have difference of opinion and they could work through it and they would not need a formal mediator. Mediation is something that we can all choose as an option. It is much quicker in terms of its process. It is much more productive because you get people to talk to one another and you get people to come with a resolution amongst yourself. It is less costly. People are able to put down what they want to. It is a win-win situation for people. You're working in sort of a bubble of safety. There's much more privacy to it compared to a formal court proceedings. There's not much mudslinging in a mediation process as there would be in a formal court proceedings that is there. There are different options. One of the better options also is the fact that it is cost-effective compared to a long-drawn court battle which might cost in the hundreds of the thousands as well. Also, the people that are doing it and the norm in society, especially amongst the legal fraternity and amongst those that are involved in the court systems, there's a shift of paradigm towards going to mediation because of the fact of to get a hearing in court. At times, as one of the lawyers made mention, it's up to 2 years to just get a hearing. And with a mediation, it could be done much, much more faster and quicker in that way. The mediator, obviously, you can choose who you would like to be the mediator between the two of you all, the two parties that are at loggerheads. Also, it is a process that mediation is not a binding process. So you come to a conclusion as you would like and as you think is a win-win situation for you. And if you feel that one party might renegade on the agreement that is signed, you can also make it an order of court. Also, there is an option of arbitration, but arbitration has different dynamics to the whole situation as well. And there is some of the issues that we've been discussing for the last hour and a half. Professor, just before we thank you for joining us, some of your closing advices and encouragements towards using this mechanism for the listeners of Radio Islam this morning?
Yeah, look, I think you've summed it up already, yeah, but very important. It, you know, it is private, it is confidential, it's not very costly, it's quick, and the important thing is it's a win-win outcome for the parties.
In Brother Ibrahim, your closing remarks with regards to mediation as a process for the listeners?
I think it's a wonderful process if used appropriately, and I just want to advise your listeners that if they want a free analysis of whether their matter is suitable for mediation, what we do at mediateworks.com, and they can find us on the internet, we'll give Radio Islam listeners a 30-minute free consult as to whether their particular dispute is suitable for mediation. In that 30 minutes, we can advise them as to the nature of their dispute and whether there is an available mediator, and they can then make the selection. So if people are confused, with pleasure, we'll do this for 30 minutes for free, and in that time, we'll be able to guide them along. But they need to contact our offices for a particular appointment.
You want to give me a contact number?
They'll find our contact details on www.mediateworks.com. M-E-D-I-A-T-E works, W-R-K-S.com. And the number is 011-027-5468.
Professor, yourself and Brother Ibrahim, Jazakallah so much for joining us this morning. I've learned a lot as always. Professor has tutored us also in this year. Thank you so much and Jazakallah for your time this morning.
Jazakallah for giving me the opportunity.
Jazakallah, it's an absolute pleasure.
Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
We've been discussing for the past half with regards to mediation and some of the processes and some of the options. As counselors, as people that deal with people in the community and people who deal with social work, we see the arguments, we see the fights, we see people going at one another's necks sometimes in meetings, and there's just no close to it. So an option for families, an option for business partners, an option for husband and wife, when you're going through these situations, look at a mediation and arbitration council, look at an organization, look at a person that is skilled in this year. You will be able to work through it, you'll be able to get some sort of closure with regard to some of the issues that you are going through. You would also be able to get some sort of a win-win solution for you, not something that will be one-sided, something that you will be able to deal with it in a most appropriate way. And inshallah, if we can stop this argument, we can stop this infighting, we can start uniting in a very micro level, it can grow and it can become something which is very macro level. We can unite the ummah. These are options available. These people are professionals. Contrary to what we think, some of them have the greatest amount of well-wishing for us to be able to reach a solution. Sometimes we think these people are out to make money. But when you sit with them and you mediate with them and you see the process that they've put in just to be able to reach a solution, sometimes sitting late in the early parts of the, you know, late in the evening, early parts of the morning. And these people really take out time to be able to make people bond again and make people pitch up some of the issues that they are having within their business dealings, within their marriages, within their custody battles. It's amazing how much you can achieve when we start talking with people, when we start talking to people rather than starting talking at people. And there is something as an ummah I think we can learn much from. Nabi alayhi salam, Quran is replete with many an advocations and many a hadith and Quranic ayat that tell us how important is it and how necessary is it for us to be able to patch some of those partnerships that have gone negatively, some of those arguments that we are having, some of those relationships that have turned sour, to be able to patch them, to be able to unite the people's heart, to be able to once again work through those issues that we are having, is one of the core aspects that our Islam teaches us, and something where great reward has been given to any person that will play any role in getting people together, in uniting people. And this is something we all should strive for, inshallah. That's from myself, Ubaidullah Bawaja, this Sunday morning. Inshallah, hopefully we hope to speak to you on Thursday evening, where we will inshallah endeavor to profile Mawlana Ali rahimahullah, who passed away from Shepston. Mawlana was a very senior alim of our country. In our ulama profile slot, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.